Good morning. It's good to see everyone here. We've got two scripture readings this morning. The first one's going to be in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. So Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, and then a short one from Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. I think these are probably both familiar passages. The first one in Mark chapter 4 is the scene where Jesus calms the storm and they're out on the boat with the disciples and the storm comes up and Jesus is sleeping and the disciples are scared. And then the passage from Philippians is a very common one, very popular one, where we are urged and exhorted to take our concerns to God in prayer for all things. But in Mark chapter 4, I'll begin reading verse 35. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Then turning over to Philippians chapter 4, I'll be reading verses 4 through 7. "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we thank you again at this time that we have your word that we can have open before us, that we can read it, that we can think about it, that we can talk about it, and that we can apply it to our lives. And this morning, Father, as we think about these two passages that we've read, as we think about the ways that Jesus can influence our lives, as we think about the impact that prayer can have in our lives, and as we think about God, the numerous and diverse ways that each of us are here this morning with our own concerns and cares and struggles and difficulties, we pray, God, that none of us would ever become overwhelmed with those things, but that the message this morning will be a reminder to us that even when we feel swamped in our own lives, even when we feel overcome and overburdened in our own lives, we know that you are in complete control, and we ask, God, this morning that you would help us to remember that, and that you would constantly draw us back to you in those times of stress, in those times of fear, and in those times of worry. Help us, God, to know deeply the love and care that you have for us. Help us to experience that. Help us to always turn to you first, and not as an afterthought, but to get it in our minds that you love us so much, that you've given us everything. You've given us the gift of eternal life. You've given us the plan of salvation. You've had your Son die for our sins so that barrier would be removed so that we can have access to you. And I pray, God, that we would receive that gift with thanksgiving and gratitude, that the gospel would change and shape our lives, and that we would grow daily into the people that you want us to be. We thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. How many have ever been on a summer vacation, maybe at a campground, and so you go down to the beach area there, and there was always those guys that were running around the beach that thought that they were God's gift to the beach, and they were going to show off for all the girls that were down there and everything. That was me and my brother when we were growing up, at least in our own minds. Probably didn't execute that as well as I just described, but that was us, and we were, you know, we went camping every summer. We went to the same place, and we got to know some of the regulars that were there. That would also come back summer after summer. And so we look forward to those things. But, you know, sometimes when you're young like that, you get a little bit arrogant and you start to do stupid things. I remember this rock cliff that was there. And We would just take flying leaps off of that, and I have no idea how deep the water really was at that location, but thankfully it was deep enough that we never had any issues. But there was another time where we kind of got in over our heads, literally. We had this inflatable raft, and we blew it up, and we got out on the water, and we weren't paying attention to anything. Neither of us could swim worth anything to save our lives if we had to, and suddenly, excuse me, we're out on this raft having a good time, and suddenly we hear our dad calling us from shore, and I remember thinking, that sounds a little far away, and we look up, because we hadn't been paying attention, and we're like, I don't know, quite a ways out from shore, neither of us able to swim, and this raft, that's all we have, so we're trying to figure out how we're going to get back, and luckily we were able to get in and, I don't know, dog paddle our way back, I guess, fortunately we had that raft to keep us afloat, but I'll be honest, I was a little scared in that moment because I knew I couldn't swim, and if something happened, and we were far enough out, there were warnings about undertows and things, but we weren't paying attention. And because we weren't paying attention, we found ourselves suddenly in over our heads. And maybe that can be a metaphor for our lives. How many times do we find ourselves in circumstances where we're in deep water? Or we're in over our heads? Or we're ill-equipped to do the things that we think that we have to do? And now it's a struggle because we don't know how to handle the situation that we find ourselves in. And so how many of us in our lives, we have different kinds of stress in our lives, whether it's work-related stress, or maybe it's family stress, maybe it's just a situation that we're in the middle of that we don't know how to get out of, and we feel like we're adrift. We don't know how we're going to anchor ourselves. We don't know what to anchor ourselves to, and so we struggle with that. And for some of us, it's money issues. We feel like we're constantly behind. We feel like we're constantly struggling to get our bills paid or to get this done or just to stay ahead, to keep our heads above water, quite literally, when it comes to that sinking feeling when we end of the month comes and we realize we don't have enough money. And that causes a lot of stress and we feel adrift. We don't know what to do. For others of us, as I've already said, that it's our work situation. We're struggling. And we don't know maybe if we're even going to have a job, or maybe we don't know if we're going to find a job if we've been looking for one for so long. And we all know the kinds of stress that families can cause. Even good families get into problems from time to time. And maybe there's an issue in your family that's causing a lot of tension, a lot of anxiety. You don't know quite how to deal with it. You don't feel like you're equipped to handle that problem or to sort your way through it. It causes fear. It causes worry. It causes anxiety. And of course, lately, we know that many, even within this group right here, even within this church, have experienced illnesses, health struggles of serious kinds. And it's a challenge when we don't know what each day is going to bring. We don't know how to respond. And it can shake us because we don't know what the future is going to hold. We don't know what the outcome of a particular treatment is going to be. We don't know what's going to happen day to day, and health illnesses can cause struggle. And then, of course, deaths. When loved ones are taken from us, we struggle with that. Even when we know that they've gone to be in a better place, we still struggle with our own feelings and our own emotions. And we feel that if we don't know what to hold on to, we feel adrift with our own feelings. And how many of us would just like to have an anchor to hold on to know that we can cast it down and stop floating this way or that? How many of us want the stability that comes from knowing what God has in store for us? How many of us believe that God is that anchor, but we struggle with knowing how to hold on to Him at those most difficult times? How many of us realize that although we know God is good, although we know God loves us, although we know God is trying to bring us to the best things that He has for us, yet when we encounter stress and fear and worry and anxiety and doubt in our lives, when everything around us seems chaotic, when we cannot control our lives anymore, How many of us realize that it's so much easier to give in to those fears and doubts than it is to turn to the God that we know loves us? Because we just let our minds take over. And we let those doubts creep in. And it's like that story that once you open the door a crack, and that fear and that anxiety, those troubles, they kick it in. And they just come in and they take over. And so with that in mind, let's go back to the story in Mark chapter 4. This is a story where the disciples are feeling overwhelmed by chaos, quite literally. For the Jews, the water, the sea, was a symbol of chaos. It reminded them of those things that could not be controlled. It reminded them of those things that were completely outside of their control. It reminded them back even to the idea of creation, where God tamed the chaos, where God brought the waters of chaos under his control, and he created and he made new. But for the Jews, water was a scary thing. You can control yourself on land quite well, but once you get in the water, who knows what's going to happen? So like my brother and I out on that raft, I guess an undertow could have come along at some point, swept us out even further, or a storm could have come up, or a boat could have ripped past us and sent up all sorts of waves that may have tipped us over. We just don't know. Some of us have been out in canoes or kayaks, and those things can tip over before you even know it, especially if you're fooling around a little bit and not, you know, like at summer camp and not being careful. And then the waters, it's uncontrollable. We can't control that. And so for the Jews, they recognize that. And water was a symbol for them of the things that they could not control. So to be out on the sea and have a furious storm come up was almost, we could say, their worst nightmare. What do we do now? So that's why we read that the disciples are out with Jesus, and they're out, and a furious squall came up so bad that the waves broke over the boat so that the boat was nearly swamped. They almost capsized. The disciples are up on the top deck, scared, worried, fearful. You know there was a lot of anxiety. What do you do when you're out on this storm, out on the sea in this storm, and you're skeptical that your boat is going to get you through this storm to the other side without capsizing and dumping you into the sea? And then if it sinks and you're in the middle, what are you going to do? So they were scared. They didn't know what was going to happen. And as they looked around, they realized, where's Jesus? Where's the teacher? He was nowhere to be found. And so they went to find him. And to their shock and surprise, Jesus is calmly asleep. Now, why do you think he might have been sleeping? Because Jesus knew that there was nothing to fear. Jesus knew that there was nothing to be anxious about. Jesus knew that even though the situation looked chaotic, he was in complete control. And so he could sleep knowing that he and those with him were going to be safe because they were with him. But the disciples, they didn't perceive that yet. And we know as we read through the Gospels, the disciples, you know, sometimes they understood, sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they were late to come to the understanding of what Jesus was about. In this case, they didn't get it. They were scared. And we know they were scared because of what Jesus says. In verse 40, he says, why are you so afraid? You know, when they go down, and in verse 38, they go down into the stern. Jesus, he's fast asleep on a cushion. This storm isn't bothering him at all. But they go down, they say, teacher, don't you care if we drown? That was their perspective at this point. They were not getting out of this storm unless something drastic happened. They were afraid they were going to drown. They were afraid. We feel like that so many times in our lives, whether we stop to take stock of it and actually become aware of that, or whether it's more of a fleeting thought, we feel that fear. We feel that sense of drowning in our lives, that we're about to drown. We're trying to keep our heads above that metaphorical water. But the pressures and stresses and chaos of our lives and the different circumstances that we find ourselves in are crashing around about us, threatening to capsize us, and we feel like we're going to drown. And we go to Jesus with the same question. Don't you care that we're going to drown? And what Jesus does is he says, that's the wrong question. That's why he asked him, why are you so afraid? See, you're coming to me, Jesus says, out of fear. You're coming to me with that fear that something bad is going to happen to you. I am here to protect you, he says. Not in so many words, but that's what he gets to. That's why he says, why are you so afraid? Do you still have so little faith? And Jesus gets to the heart of the question there. And the question for him is, whether we approach him, whether we go to him out of fear or with faith. And he wants the disciples to realize, and then us reading this so many hundreds and thousands of years later, we have to reflect on the same question. Do we go to Jesus out of fear or out of faith? In some cases, maybe the question to ask is, do we go to him only when we're fearful? Or is our life with him a life of faith? And the implication that Jesus is making to them is, if you had enough faith in me, you wouldn't have been fearful about this. Because you would have realized that I'm going to protect you and bring you through this. And what did he do? He calmly got up. He went out. He rebuked the wind and the waves. Jesus took the natural order. He took creation itself. He commanded creation, and it obeyed him. And so the disciples, they're terrified still, Mark tells us. And they're talking to themselves now, and they ask each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Because what they're seeing is, who is this that even creation obeys him? But they answer their own question with that. What kind of a person can command the forces of nature and creation itself? Only the one who created those things. Who then gave that authority to his son. And we have to stop and think that if Jesus has the kind of power to take creation itself and order it to come into submission to him, then we better believe that he can handle the pressures and stresses and anxieties and worries and fears and doubts of our own lives. And that's why Jesus says, why are you so fearful? The one through whom we have salvation is the one who was able to tame the chaos of creation in the middle of this storm. Why would we ever be fearful about going to him with any of our fears? Why would we ever stop trying to deepen and grow in our faith so that we would go to him by faith rather than fear? Now, I'm not talking about that dichotomy of fear and faith in any kind of a way that I want us to feel guilty about. I'm not trying to call us out for going to Jesus with fear instead of faith. And Jesus isn't doing that either. He's trying to remind them that they don't have any reason to be fearful. And we know that. All the times that we've gone to him with fear first and faith second, and he's come through and he's answered our appeal of faith, we've known in that moment that we didn't need to be fearful, that fear was just an obstacle that was in the way that we had to get out of the way to be able to go to him. So maybe the question then, when we consider the ways that we practice fear in our lives instead of faith, whether at the root it's anxiety, worry, stress, money, whatever it is, how do we get that fear out of the way so that we can approach him by faith? And I think this is where the passage in Philippians can help us. So if we turn back over to that passage in Philippians chapter 4, we can tell quite clearly from verse 6 that Paul is addressing anxiety among these believers. And so anxiety is not a problem only for us. It's been a problem going all the way back. It's nothing new. We all struggle with it, and it's okay to struggle with it, but what Paul wants to teach us here and what Jesus was teaching the disciples let's not live in that anxiety. Let's find a way to let that go so that we can approach God. And so Paul starts by, he gives four thoughts here. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And his idea there is that when we spend our time thinking about the gifts of God, what God has done for us, the gospel itself, when we think about how God is for us, as Paul's already written about in Romans, the idea that if God is for us, who can be against us? And he runs through all manner of things to say absolutely nothing can be against you if God is for you. And now he reminds us of all of that, and he says, rejoice in the Lord. Notice he doesn't just say rejoice. He's not saying be happy. But he's saying, think about how God has rooted you to himself and connected you to him. And on the basis of all the work that God has done in the gospel for you, rejoice in that. You will never be separated from God because of God himself. So we have cause and reason to rejoice. And so the first thing when we feel stress and problems and tension in our lives and chaos is creeping in and we don't know where to turn to and we don't know what tomorrow is going to look like and we don't know what the future is going to hold, rejoice in the Lord. Reflect on him. Think about the good things that he's done for you. And Paul says part of the reason for this is the Lord is near. And whether he means the return of Jesus is coming or whether he means through the Holy Spirit, the Lord is actually near to us, I think is immaterial. What matters is God is close to us now. So it's another reason to rejoice. And then he says, do not be anxious in anything. Do not be anxious about anything. And that probably for us is the key one right there. I'm willing to guess that most of us came here today with something else on our minds. Some concern, some issue, some problem. I know I did. And we come here to worship, and we want to worship God, but it is hard to let the cares and concerns of our lives not overwhelm us. And so Paul, he's aware of that, and he is not criticizing anybody when he says, do not be anxious about anything. But he's giving a solution to the stress in their lives. And he says, rather than being anxious, instead, in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Talk to God. Pray to God. See, sometimes we think that prayer, you know, we conceive of prayer sometimes as we're just going to throw up a bunch of requests. We're just going to run through a list. And what Paul is saying here is anytime you have an anxiety in your life, a fear, a worry, a doubt, just talk to God about it. In prayer and petition, go to him with thanksgiving in everything. And when we remember the things to be thankful for, we can pray to God about those things and we can let the anxiety go. So we're staying focused on God. We're staying focused on the gospel. We're staying focused on everything that God has done for us. And we're learning how to let anxiety go as we pray about everything. And then Paul says, and this one, if we really want the solution to stress, the only way to get away from that is to let God's peace fill us. It's going to be his peace. Now look at what Paul says in verse 7. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding. So Paul's saying, God will take care of you. You won't understand how. You don't have to understand how. God will take care of you. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many would like to be guarded by God and by his peace, so that we don't have to fear our fears and anxieties and worries coming in and breaking in somehow? Even though we're trying to put up the best defense that we can't do it. Paul says the only defense that you have to stay focused on God in this way is to allow his peace to come in. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds in and through Christ Jesus. We tap into that in prayer. As we pray to God, as we release our fear, our anxiety, The peace of God floods into our lives. His peace will prevail. His peace will guard and keep us. The solution to stress is prayer. It's turning to God in prayer. And that's what the disciples failed to realize in Mark chapter 4. They went in fear, not in trust. They were afraid. They didn't practice faith. Paul's teaching us how we can practice faith in that moment, staying connected to God as we pray to Him, as we go to Him with every thought, every prayer, every petition, going to God, relying on Him, deepening our trust in Him. The only way to do this is to learn really on the go. Start praying now. Start asking God for help now. Start learning to rely on Him. Maybe it's something totally new for you. Maybe it's something you've struggled with. Maybe it won't come as easy as it will later. But we start now. And we let ourselves be led by God. We pray. We humble ourselves. We trust God that His peace will come into our lives and take care of the fears and the worries. Earlier I asked how many of us would like an anchor that we can hold on to. And Paul says prayer is our anchor. Prayer is our anchor. That's how we stay connected to God. That's how we hold strong to God. That's how we keep our faith in times of chaos. When the cares of our lives threaten to overwhelm us, the only thing we can do is turn to God in prayer. And sometimes that seems too simple for us, but Paul has said if we want the peace of God in our lives, if we want that rootedness and that connectedness to God, His peace filling and flooding our lives, protecting and keeping our mind and our hearts through Christ Jesus, we pray. We remember God. And our lives become lives of constantly turning away from trying to do everything ourselves, turning to Him in trust, and letting His peace come into our lives so that He can care for us, so that He can take care of us. If you're here this morning and need to respond to the message in any way, maybe to seek prayer, or maybe to seek a new life with Jesus, whatever your need may be, we encourage you to let us know what that is by coming forward as we stand and sing.